Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 reads this way. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together in your house, in your name, as your people, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up in our lives and glorified. And Lord, that we might praise and worship you for all your mercy and all your grace and goodness that you've given to us, beginning with salvation. And then, Lord, your Spirit to empower our lives to glorify your name. Bless your word, bless your people tonight, for we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply Walk in the Spirit. And it is a familiar portion of Scripture. I think we've been here more than once, but it's important. And there's a little bit of a different angle that we'll consider here tonight. And God wants us to know that it's important for the believer to walk in the Spirit of God because it's the only way God will glorify himself in our lives. That's the only way God's going to choose. He's not asking us to do something for him. He's asking us to ask him to do it for us by his power, for his honor, and for his glory. And if our lives are a testimony of a life in the flesh or spiritual failure, have you ever experienced that? A life in the flesh, that doesn't necessarily mean sinfulness. It just means in our own strength, in our own power, without the power of the Spirit, and it would be spiritual failure. It only stands to reason that we're not living in the Holy Spirit, amen, and the way that God wants us to live. So we want to consider three important truths that help us to understand what God's talking about. And number one is the Spirit of God overcomes the flesh. The Spirit of God overcomes the flesh. Two, the work of the flesh, we'll consider that tonight for a few moments. And then the last, we'll consider the fruit of the Spirit. These three thoughts here tonight as we consider what God wants us to understand and the grace he wants us to experience in our own personal lives. Verse 16 says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." So this is the Spirit of God. And what does it do? Notice what it says, "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Is God's word the truth? Amen. Do you believe that? Is God's word always right? Okay, so here's the truth. It's saying that if we walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if we're failing God, are we in the Spirit or in the flesh? In the flesh. We're in the flesh. And so that's important. And at that moment is a good time to stop. In fact, Lord, help me to see when I'm in the flesh. Help me to distinguish the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. You can be doing a good thing, you're going to see this here in just a moment, and be in the flesh. But it's not going to glorify the Lord. The world would think nothing of it. The world would say nothing of it. But when we see it as God sees it, we want to stop and say, "Oh Lord, I don't want to walk in the flesh because I'm not in the Spirit." And the Spirit is what glorifies the Lord. And so keep that thought in mind. That's the first thought. Secondly, we want to consider the work of the flesh. And here's where we're going to get to, as they say, the nuts and the bolts of what's working here and how this comes together. So verse 17, we want to notice concerning the work of the flesh, the believer's bondage. This is the believer's bondage. Look at verse 17. It says this, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit," listen to this, "and the Spirit against the flesh." So we see there's a battle there, right? They're not cohesive. That means they don't agree with each other. They can't take hold of each other. It just doesn't work. It's like oil and water. It just doesn't mix, and it won't mix, all right? So he says this, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other," listen to this, "so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." So there are, listen, if you know the Lord, you love him, amen? If you're saved, you love him. And if you love him, you do want to keep his commandments. But what frustrates us more than anything else is that we can't do it in the flesh. And we don't understand the Spirit the way God wants us to. And that's the truth of the matter. So we understand this and we get this frustration, but I want to do it and I can't do it. I want to do it. I don't want to do the things that God doesn't want me to do, and I do want to do the things that God... I mean, don't answer this question, but how many times have you told the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry, I want to start over, I want to honor you, God, and I know, I've said this before, Lord, help me to do better. I'm not going to get onto that page. We know it's the Lord working through us and in us that's going to do that. He's not going to make us strong, but he wants to give us his strength. Because what happens is when we're made strong, the natural, it happens to all of us, we become prideful. That's just the way it works. Peter had it, right? Lord, though all these forsake you, not me. And that was can we say that was pride? Do you believe that was pride in Peter? Here's a question for you. Do you think Peter saw it at that moment? No, he didn't. How did you all know that? No, he didn't know that. You know why? Because the Spirit of God is confirming that. The Spirit of God is guiding us into these truths. He meant it. Was he genuine? Yes. Did he mean what he said? Yes. Was he right? No, he wasn't right. It didn't work out. Hold your place right here. We're only going to go to one other place. We're going to come right back here to Galatians. But remember, go ahead. I want you to go to Romans chapter 7, verse 18. I want you to see something very important. Scripture always defines Scripture, right? The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. And so again, I want to read this as you're going to Romans chapter 7, verse 18. I want to read this verse 17 that we just read here in Galatians as you're going over to Romans chapter 7, 18. Remember this, it says this, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would." Now notice this here in chapter 7 of the book of Romans, verse 18. "For I know that in me," that is in my flesh. Are we talking about the flesh tonight? Yes, we're talking about the flesh. So he says, "For I know that in me," that is in my flesh. He wants to be specific. There's a parenthetical statement there. He wants us to, that's the subject matter. That is the root of what he's getting to. "Dwelleth no good thing." Why? "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." I want you to know something. This is not just one little happening in the life of Paul that he's talking about. He's talking about this battle that he had in himself. And he's saying, now listen, he's got the answer to it now, but he's saying, I want you to know what I was going through. Do you know why the Lord moved Paul to tell us these things that were happening in his life? Because they happen in the life of every believer. And so he wants us to understand this battle. Listen to this, verse 19. "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." So we can say amen to that. We understand that. Verse 20. "Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." The lost person has no clue about this. The saved child is the only one that has this battle. I want to do the right thing, and I can't figure out how to do it. I mean, I love the Lord. I want to do it. I understand where Peter was from. He was coming from. He wanted to do the right thing, but it wasn't working out. So notice this, verse 22. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man," the new man, the saved man, right? "But I see another law," verse 23, "in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Notice this. "Oh, wretched man that I am." He's saying, I know why I do these things, because I'm dealing with the flesh, and the flesh is bent towards wickedness. And by the way, listen, again, let's back up here. It's not necessarily doing sinful things, but it's doing things in the strength of the flesh as well. And here's the thing, ready? You can say something, maybe you've said something before that wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. But you'd say, I wish I didn't say that. You see what I'm saying? What did you say it in the Spirit of God? No, because if you said it in the Spirit of God, there's nothing to take back. It's all good. But when we look at our lives and we say, I wish I didn't say or do that, and it's not really sin, but it was in the power of the flesh. And we have to understand and make that distinction, because the flesh is not necessarily sinful, but it is ungodly. What does that mean, Brother George? Because it does not glorify the Lord. Anything without God is ungodly. That's why we call lost people ungodly. Not because they're committing ungodly things, but because they are without God. Now they're going to commit ungodly things because that's our nature. But even when they're doing good things, they're still ungodly, aren't they? So doesn't it stand to reason that even when we do good things in the power of the flesh, that's also ungodly? It's ungodly. All right. So notice this. He says, oh, verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Yeah, this, why? Why can't I get the handle on this? This frustrated Paul. Can you hear the frustration? It bothered him. He's saying, this is not the way I want to live. So question, can we with Paul say the same thing for the glory of God? I don't want to live in the power of the flesh, because it's ungodly. Even if it's doing good things, it's still ungodly. And so we don't want to be in that position. So notice this. He says this. Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now listen. We have the break here of the chapter, but it's still a continuing letter that he wrote. It's still a continuing thought. He says, verse 1 of chapter 8, there is therefore now, not tomorrow, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, so they're saved, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That's the contingency right there. Who walk not after the flesh. Listen, was God ever happy when Israel sinned? Okay, you and I are under grace. You remember what Jesus said? It's wrong to commit murder, but I say unto you, grace takes it to a higher level. God is not, listen, we've got this wrong attitude. But by the way, listen, God is angry with the wicked continually. Because if we're not careful, here's what we say, ready? Oh, listen, God's unconditional love towards his children, but not towards the lost, because he's angry with them continually. They've got to be saved. And so what we do is we say, oh, we talk about the unconditional love of God, and then they say, oh, well, if it's unconditional, well, I don't have to do anything. And by the way, what do you think it does for the believer? Oh, it's unconditional. I just keep living this way. And no, that's not the truth. That is wrong. God does not want us to be failures in the faith that God has given to us. So Paul says, I figured it out. We're either in the flesh or we're in the Spirit. So let's go back to our text, the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we want to see this situation that's happening in the life of the believer. Listen, God wants to bless your life and mine. God says, if you ask me whatsoever you will, I'll give it to you. Whatsoever you will. Not whatsoever you hope or dream. So I pick on the piano player, because not the piano player, but the piano, because I think it's a wonderful instrument. I would hope to learn how to play that. How about this? I wish I would know how to play that. I wish. When will I learn to play that? When I say I will practice. Probably never. But I will practice. Do you see the difference? So as long as I wish I could just walk by in the Spirit. That never happened. It will never happen until you say, God has given it to me. I will it, Lord. And then he says this. Hey, if you ask any good thing from me, He being our heavenly Father, will he withhold it? No. He'll give it, won't he? Yes. And so that's important. He won't withhold any good thing from us. So the problem is not on his part. The problem is on our part in our unbelief, that we are unwilling to ask God to bring us into a wonderful relationship of prayer, We sing a song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Don't answer this question. I wonder, could you tell me, don't answer this, how many believers today you think pray an hour every day? And yet, God's people ought to be a praying people. Should they not? Amen. They ought to be a praying people. That means because I am dependent upon my God. If we're not praying, you know what we're telling God? I don't need you today. That's what we're telling you. I don't need you. I'm doing fine. I'm going to show up in your presence just the way I am. Because after all, it's okay with you if I do that, isn't it? Is it? No. It's not okay. You mean to tell me that Jesus Christ died on the cross just to give us eternal life and no glory for God? The Spirit for me, glory for thee. Without the Spirit, no glory for God. All right. This is important because these Galatians were backpedaling. They started off in the faith, in the Spirit, and now they wound up in the flesh, trying to promote their own goodness. And Paul said, I've got words about people like that. Let them be accursed. That's what he said. People that are hoodwinking you, who have bewitched you, who's cast a spell on you, never going to work. All right. So notice this. He says, the bottom of verse 17, so that ye cannot do the things that you would if you're in the flesh. But notice verse 18, but if you be led of the what? Spirit, you're not under the law. That doesn't mean that you can just do whatever you want because you're not under the law. That means the Spirit will cause you to, listen, it's wrong to commit murder. I won't hate my brother. It's wrong to lust after a woman. I won't even look at her. You can't tell me you can't do that. You can't tell. God will enable you. God will enable you. I don't know who was telling. I can't remember, Billy Graham or something like that. That you know, you shouldn't look at a woman when they're not right. You shouldn't take a second look or something like that. And the joke was, well, I'll just take one long look. No, that's sin. That's sin. That's no. There's nothing funny in that. Nothing funny at all in that. It dishonors God and it puts our heart in a very wicked place. And so we need to have the heart and mind of the Lord because we're indwelt with His Spirit. We can't, listen, it's not playing games with God. We're going to stand before God and give an account. Amen. And I don't want to give an account for a failed life when He's given me everything needed to glorify my Savior who died for me and who died for you. Is your God and my your Savior and my Savior not worthy of glory by the grace that He's given to us? See, listen, it's more than just knowing the Bible. It's knowing the God of the Bible. Amen? Knowing the power of the God of the Bible in our lives. And that's what's going to bring real worship. Not this idea of being concerned about, you know, something, listen, more important than anything you and I will ever do for God is allow Him to glorify Himself in your life and mine. That is square one. That is square one. And don't misunderstand me. Listen, I'm for saving souls. What I mean by that, I'm for telling people about Jesus. I've done that since before I was even called into the ministry. Because souls are important to God. But what good is it, listen, if the church is bringing in people and your life is a failure for God, what good will that do you when you stand before the Lord? What good will that do me to fail God and not have any honor and glory for the Lord by His power and grace? It's not going to be a good thing. I promise you there's going to be a lot of sorrowful people, especially in the day and age in which we live. People just say, I looked at a testimony of faith. Well, our of a church. Well, our preferred method of baptism is by immersion. That means they're open to anything else. Sprinkling, really? You know, God's church is His body. The Bible says He died for it. Is it important? Yes. It's important to Him. So listen, by the way, if God placed you in this church ought to be important to you. And you ought to say, Lord, I want to support it. I want to be the part of whatever the body is. Do you know if you're the eye, the rest of the body, the rest of us trust you to see. Because does your hand see? No, your hand does other things that the eye can't do. And so every part of the body is very, very critically important. Let's move along. So he says, here's the way to victory. Here's how we're set free, verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, I would dare say it would be to the believer's benefit. It ought to be our priority. Lord, teach me, show me, until he shows me how to be led by the Spirit. Lord, you show me, and how long should I keep knocking? I tell you what, even if he shows me, I still got to knock every day, and probably more than once throughout the day, to say, Lord, keep me, amen, and deliver me from myself. How quick do you think it would be for me to walk in my own strength in a day? Maybe I should ask it like this. How easy would it be for you? I always say I'm just one step away from that. I'm just one step away from doing it my way instead of God's way and thinking I'm doing God a favor. And God is saying no. So notice this. Verse 19. Let's consider these things now. Ready? Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're revealed. Right? Which are these? We know adultery. We know fornication. We know uncleanness. We know lasciviousness. But how about idolatry? Idolatry is making an idol out of something that takes precedent over God. It could be anything, couldn't it? Something that would cause me to be more committed to that thing than to my Bible, more committed to that thing than prayer, more committed to that thing than God's church. Witchcraft. You know what the word witchcraft is? Pharmakei, which means pharmaceuticals, drugs. He says these are the works of the flesh. You're not in your right mind if you're you know, incoherent or inebriated. And by the way, you open yourself up too to spirits. You've heard people say, "I would have never done that if I didn't do that," and they're right. They would have never. They're not in their right mind, and so maybe they had an issue with it. All right, hatred. Variance. Here's a good one. You know what variance is? It's contention, strife. It's like causing. You remember Moses and Korah and Dathan said you and Aaron. You guys set yourself up too high. There's 250 of us princes over here. What did God do with them? He clave the earth. Remember, and they went straight down to hell. They didn't pass go. They didn't collect $200. They went, and I don't mean to make light of it, but they. I'm sure none of them knew what was getting ready to happen. But there was contention there. God was not happy. You know why? Listen, the reason why, it wasn't for Moses' sake. It was because God said, this is the way of my authority. This is the way I've set it up. Moses didn't complain about it. And by the way, do you remember when Miriam and Aaron, because of the Cushite woman that he married, got all bent out of shape? And she was Ethiopian, which could have probably was black. You remember what happened to Miriam? Leprosy. What'd that do? That turned her body white in a way that she didn't want it white. Think about that. God doesn't do anything flippantly. There's a purpose for everything that God does. And it's very serious with the Lord. Emulations. Variance, emulations. What's an emulation? Listen to this. This is a tricky one. It is zeal. You can have zeal the wrong way. It is ardor, or which equals passion, in embracing, pursuing, and defending anything. You can have passion to defend yourself. You know what God says? That's emulation. Wow. Wow, I can tell you I've been guilty of that one more than once. Emulation. How about this? Seditions, that's dissension or division. Heresies, that is choosing an opinion varying from the true exposition of the Christian faith. Leaving the Bible and just saying, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Listen, I know you have to be saved by grace through faith, but let's throw in baptism in there. Is God pleased with that? No. And yet that's where's the church today? There are all kinds of churches that say, oh, it doesn't matter where you're coming from, we'll take you. We'll take you. And be careful not to look at those churches that run hundreds of thousands of people. They may not be the Lord's churches. I didn't say they weren't, but they may not be the Lord's churches. So he says, be careful about these things. And then he says this in verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Question, who is Paul talking to? Is he talking to the lost people or to the church at Galatia? They're lost already. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to God's people. He's wanting God's people to see how serious God looks at this. Last thought, the fruit of the Spirit. And it's important to realize that this fruit is from the Spirit of God in us and not produced by us. So verse 24 shows us here what we have or can have because we belong to Christ. Listen to this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. We can have that from the Spirit of God. Meekness, temperance, against such there's no law. That means, listen, if we are in the Spirit, you don't have to produce those things. God will produce them in you, and you will supersede the law. Amen. We're not just trying to meet the law. We're trying to surpass the law. Not in our power, but because of the grace that God has given to us, indwelling us with His Holy Spirit. Verse 24. And this stipulates the condition or requirement if we live in the Spirit. And they that are Christ's. So let me ask you a question. Do you belong to Christ? So this speaks to you, right? Speaks to us. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Have crucified. Would that be past tense? Could that be present tense? It sure could, couldn't it? Could that be in the future? Yeah, we can do that, right? Not in our strength, but in the power, because of the cross of Christ. Because of the salvation that God has given to the believer. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, listen to this, with the affections and lusts. So what's the crux of the whole matter here? If that's not happened in our lives, can we not bring it to the Lord and say, I'm missing something, God? You gave me salvation. You gave me eternal life. But I also see you tonight, you've given me something else. And that is the crucified flesh, that the Spirit might reign supreme in my life. So if the flesh is not crucified, the biggest mistake you and I can make is to say, Lord, crucify the flesh. The best thing we could do is say, Lord, show me what that means. Give me wisdom, give me your understanding on how that's already taken place. Everything the believer needs happened on the cross of Calvary. Did you know that? The payment for our sins and the resurrected life. And if we don't have the resurrected life, it's not because we don't have it, or it's not because it's not been given. It's because we're not understanding something. And you know what we will do? Because I did it. We will quit trying to figure it out and just do the best we can for God. And God says, no, that's not what I've given you. Listen, has God given us our best, or has God given us His best? Why would we settle for anything less? So here it is, ready? Verse 24 again, and we're done. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And so this is the bottom line. You know what it is? Walking in the Spirit is the life of Christ in us. And if that's absent, we don't need to try harder. We just need to ask God to give us wisdom on how that's already happened. And by the way, here's what happens. Lord, I'm asking you for the filling of the Spirit. Didn't He say, be ye filled with the Spirit? If He says, be ye filled with the Spirit, is it because it's something, it's like, He's okay with it if we don't want that? It's a commandment, isn't it? That's what He's, I want you to be filled with the Spirit. So Lord, I'm asking you, I'm indwelt with the Spirit, help me to understand how to walk in that truth. We don't have to do anything for that. That's already been purchased by the blood of Christ. Amen. You already have that. The problem is the disconnect up here and here. And how do I know that so well? Because I deal with it, the disconnect. And God, I'm telling you, when we get on board with the power of God in our lives, you will see how the truth will just lift off the pages. And I see it everywhere. I can show it to you in the Old Testament. God's not any different. God's not wanting our filthy rags. God is wanting his power in our lives. Listen, Abraham, Joseph, Daniel, Job, none of them glorified the Lord in their flesh. It was all by the Spirit of God. David, or it's not. David experienced defeat in the flesh, didn't he? And so will you and I, unless we, listen, Lord, I need you to show me. It's more than just what we know about the Bible. It's knowing the God of the Bible in a way that changes and not us, and he transforms our life. So tonight, God wants us to walk in the Spirit. That's his will. If you ask God to show you how to walk in the Spirit, do you think he'll show you? If he's given us the Lord Jesus Christ, will he withhold any good thing? No. So what are we waiting for? Amen? Show me, God, how to walk. Don't fool yourself and say, because I'm saved, I must be in the Spirit. Oh, no. No, you could be a saved child, beloved of God, and walk in the flesh. Not doing bad things, but not being led by the Spirit of Christ. Do you believe that? It can happen. And so may we say, God, understanding and wisdom on what you've already given to me concerning the filling, indwelling, and power of the Spirit for glory and glorifying your name, and Lord, that I might know your peace and your grace like never before. Would you stand? God wants to give us that, and he wants to awe us with that. We just have to seek him. Lord, give me the faith to believe your word. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, the wisdom, the understanding that it brings to our lives. And Lord, now we have the opportunity to call upon you to fulfill what you've promised in your word. Lord, may you do an amazing work in enlightening our hearts and minds with what you've already given to the membership of Northwood Baptist Church. Lord, may you bless Northwood Baptist Church like never before with understanding the power of your Spirit that you've given to every believer. And then, Lord, we do pray that you bless all of your churches, all of your missionaries, Lord, and all of your people with your Holy Spirit. For we ask all this and bless as we break off for prayer. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.